Hi, I'm Kale.
And I'm Emily.
And we've been married for close to 8 years. We have two of our own biological kids. Steele is 6 years old, and Tatum is about to be 5 in May. And we have one little foster placement right now. We went to high school together and kind of reconnected after college.
When he picked me up for our first date, I was like, whoa. Like, he's good looking. I mean, just to be honest.
So when we got married, we knew we were gonna try to have kids pretty early. So we started trying right away. And it wasn't happening at first. And Emily just kind of felt like something's not right. So we went to see a doctor about it. She just found out that we needed a little bit of help to get pregnant. But we did some infertility stuff and she got pregnant with Steele.
We went back in.
Yeah, we went
when
back
we were,
in.
Like, ready to start thinking about having a second. Went back in, like, redid all the testing, and then they were like, nothing's changed. You've got like a 1% chance of pregnancy, so we'll go through this whole thing again. And then, little did we know, I was pregnant at the time. So Tatum was just a surprise gift, and that's why our kids are very close in age. We wanted a third. Tried for like 2.5 years, did all the fertility treatments, and no success. So we walked through lots of highs and lows of infertility, and I remember crying very hard for a long time, and many days and nights, and just thinking like, this might not ever happen for us. We knew like, God might not. We don't always get everything we want or everything we pray for. So that was a really hard truth to come just to like sink into our hearts and really trust that we're gonna trust God with our life and with our family, even if it's not maybe what we wanted or what we originally planned. So what initially kind of like stirred my heart toward foster care, I've always loved kids. I've been a teacher, I've just worked with kids forever, always wanted to be a mom. We kind of just committed to praying about it and reading the Bible and just seeing like, what does God say about it? And I think it was one of those things, like we had a million valid reasons to not do it, right? We're busy, he works overnight shifts, we have kids, like we're both working. We had reasons that anyone would say like, yeah, you don't have to do that. Here we are, we have a home, we've got some kids, we've got a bed, we've got a lot of love to give, so why not us? It is not all perfect by any means, but like going into foster care just has opened our eyes so much to the world around us and what people need. And it's incredible how much like one family saying yes can make a difference in these lives and really truly like change their generations of how they raise their kids. My favorite part of this journey has been becoming a family like on a mission. Doing something that involves our kids, that was something that was actually one of our biggest hesitations and still is something we can become fearful of, how it's going to affect them. But it is so cool to do something that our kids are involved in, that they're, I mean, they're such a part of this. They help in the healing and love of every child that comes in. There are kids who come in and are hesitant toward us, but they see like happy and healthy, playful children, and that is healing for them. So seeing our kids grow too has been just so cool. As we stepped into fostering, one thing that was really important is I want our kids to remember growing up, hey, like our door was always open to people in need. And to not just say that, but to really have lived it. Like our home was a safe haven for children that needed a safe place. And our parents sacrificed things for others, and you know, they sacrificed so much too to be a part of this.
Can we give Emily and Kale a hand for sharing their story? Thank you so much, guys. We just thought Emily and Kale's story was just a great glimpse into how different the journey of mothering can look for every single person. And Ellie already alluded to this when she was on just a minute ago, but we know today for many women here, you're maybe going to see your mom, you're going to be maybe with your kids or your grandkids, and it's going to be a day where you get a little spoiled and you get primped and pampered a little bit. But we also know, you know, Mother's Day can come with a lot of different emotions and experiences too. And for some of us in here, this is a day where you're remembering a mother that you've lost. There's some moms in here where you're remembering a child you've lost. And sometimes even Mother's Day is a moment just to kind of become more aware of maybe the fact that your relationship with your own mother isn't quite what you were hoping it would be, or even as a mother, that your relationship with your own kids is not what you had always hoped for. I know there's women in here today where you were hoping maybe this would have been the first Mother's Day you could celebrate as a new mom, and that just hasn't happened in the way you'd hoped. And so whatever your experience has been on this journey, we just want to take a moment and truly celebrate the moms and honor them in this room, because God has really given you the privilege of bringing life into this world. And that is just a beautiful thing. And so can we just celebrate the moms one more time in this room and thank them for all you've done? We are so grateful for all of you. And just last week, y'all, we saw 56 people baptized, which, by the way, I know there's a lot of you in the room. We are so proud of you. We are so excited for you. That was an amazing, amazing thing. Yeah, let's celebrate them one more time. How cool was that? What an amazing step. But kind of fitting with the whole Mother's Day theme, Solon, our worship pastor, it was kind of cool last week because Graham is his brother. Graham's our sound engineer for the church. Graham got baptized, but then both Solon and Graham got to baptize their mom last week together, which was just kind of a cool moment right there. So we're super happy for Solon and all that, and everybody got baptized. That was kind of a cool thing. So Allison, we're so happy for you. Love all you guys out there online. So church, we're just so grateful for all the moms and just grateful to be here together today. And I'm going to pray and we're going to go after it, okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we do just thank you for all the mothers, and we just thank you for the women in our lives and the role they play. And Lord, none of us would be here if it wasn't for you calling women to bring life into this world. What a high calling. And so I just pray a special blessing over all the moms represented in our church. And Lord, we just pray that your presence would come into this place, Lord, that we would have an experience of you working in here in our lives, transforming us from the inside out. We want to hear from you right now, Lord. And we just pray you would move. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Don't disappoint me, second service. Let me hear it. Amen. I love it. I love it. So I have a friend who watched me go through the process of becoming a parent. Like, he was just in our lives a lot, and he watched me figure out how to do the diapers and the naps and all the things. And then it was a couple years later where he had his own kids, and he sent me a text just about a week ago, and he said, "Brian, my son just pooped in the bathtub. You did not prepare me for this." I was like, "Bro, that's on you, man. You got to figure some of this stuff out for yourself." But even just like this last week too, my own kids, I know they're supposed to be perfect because they're pastor's kids, but they were screaming and losing their minds and going crazy. And Nicole looked at me, half joking, but actually totally serious at the same time. She was like, "How come nobody warned us about this? Nobody warned us. Nobody told us what this would be." And I want to just help the moms feel heard and seen today. Can we all just acknowledge this right now? Parenting, the mothering journey, it is a grind. I thought I'd hear a lot of amens from the ladies right there. Just amen, Brian. You say it. You say it. It's a grind. Like, I know there's some grandparents in the room and you're like, "No, Brian, it's the best thing in the world. It's amazing." And that's only because you have grandkids now and you love them more than your own kids. You forgot how much your own kids drove you insane. That's the only reason you feel that way. And nothing can actually prepare you for the actual parenting journey. I don't care how many books you read, how many people you talk to, it is a trial by fire. So parenting, it's its own form of grind. But let's all just admit this right now. Life is a grind. Oh, come on. Life is a grind. I mean, it is just work sometimes. For so many of us in this room, you're going to wake up tomorrow, the alarm's going to be going off, and you are going to do Groundhog's Day again, like you've been doing for all these years. You're going to be getting ready in the morning, trying to get out the door on time. You're packing lunches. You're fighting traffic. You're doing emails. You're doing deadlines. You got work projects. You got all the things. And I don't care how much you like your job. Your job stinks, right? Oh, I don't care how good your job is. It's just got a bunch of stuff that gives you all these different headaches. And we haven't even mixed in the people part of your life yet. The people in your life stink too. You got a bunch of people you love, but there are a bunch of people that drive you absolutely insane. You are sitting next to them right now in this room. Be careful with those amens right there. Be very careful with what you say. But I mean, come on, your back hurts. You got to fit the dentist appointment in. You got a million things to do. Your calendar's like a little Tetris game, just trying to fit things in. Life is a grind. Now, the question is though, is that really what God wants? Is that just what life is? Is it a couple decades of just kind of pushing through and then you get heaven as a consolation prize? I mean, is that how we're supposed to just approach this whole thing? Now, today is Mother's Day. The good weather is almost here. We're close. We're almost there, guys. Hang on there. Summer's right around the corner. We felt like this was just a perfect opportunity to step into a new series as a church today that we are calling Enjoy the Ride. Oh, this is going to be a good one, everybody. Now, I want to let you guys peek behind the curtain. When we plan out these series, I want you guys to know there's some real intentionality around it. So we want to make sure we're always getting a balanced diet, really, of the Bible as we engage it as a church. So sometimes we'll dig into just a topic. We'll talk about faith or relationships or something pertinent to our culture. Just even the new series was like a vision series. Where are we going as a church? What is God up to? But sometimes we will even take a season and we will sequentially walk through a book of the Bible. And what's great about this is it really forces us just to hit the topics as they come up. And we kind of let the book set the tone and we just get to go on a journey with it. And so for the coming weeks, we are actually going to go through a book in the Bible called Philippians. And if you're not familiar with this, it's actually a short letter in the Bible written by a guy named Paul in the first century to some people living in the city of Philippi, which is in modern day Greece. Now, there's some interesting history to this. When Paul first showed up to Philippi, there was not a single Christian in the entire city. There was not a Christian church. There was actually so few Jews even in this city that they didn't even have a synagogue. So Paul rolls up to this city and he finds some women gathering on the outskirts of the city for a little prayer group. Now, just think about this, guys. Some things never change. The ladies are gathering for friendship and fellowship and community and prayer. And where are the guys at? They're at home watching football right now, okay? It was happening in the first century too. The guys are nowhere to be seen, but the ladies are being all spiritual. But Paul gets introduced to a lady named Lydia, who becomes a key piece to a little group of people forming, which became the nucleus for a brand new church. And not just a new church. This church in Philippi is the first church that was ever started in what is modern day Europe today. This is the first church ever in Europe. So, some little kind of fun note here too is women played a massive prominent role in this church. They were a big part of the life in the community. So on Mother's Day, a little shout out to the ladies, some girl power for the church in Philippi. But if you, yeah, I like that. Let's go. Here's what's kind of cool about Paul's letter here though. It is probably his most encouraging letter he ever wrote. You read through this whole thing, all he's doing is just trying to lift these people up. He's trying to give them hope. And you see this prominent theme throughout the whole thing of joy. In this short little letter, 14 different times, Paul is talking about this idea of joy and rejoicing and choosing to live a life of joy. And really what Paul's trying to say is life, going on this journey with God, it's meant to be enjoyed. Like there's so much to experience. There's so much to be grateful for, so much to soak in, so much to just appreciate. And this is what is interesting about Paul's whole tone in this letter. When he writes it to these people, they are going through some pretty extreme persecution for following Jesus. So life is not really good for the people reading this letter. And yet Paul has just this tone of, hey, let's not just have a kind of pity party here. It's not just woe is me. He says, you can even have this joy that transcends whatever circumstances you face. And it's not just that that makes this letter incredible. Paul writes this letter from a prison cell. He is in prison for his faith as he's writing this. If there's one guy who has an excuse to complain and grumble a little bit, it's Paul. And yet he's got nothing but good vibes in this whole letter. Now, these are not just words written for some people in the first century. These are also God's words to us today. And we're going to see that God has words for us where he's going to say things like, no matter who you are, no matter what you're facing, you can enjoy this ride called life. You really can. And today we're going to see that this idea of joy that Paul has for us, it's not just based on these circumstances, whether you can get to a point where your life is just perfect and you have all the comfort and ease you want. No, it's way better than that. So we're going to ask this question. How can you really enjoy this ride? How can you tap into this joy that is even greater than anything you face? And how can you cultivate this as a lifestyle for yourself? So we're going to dig right in. Philippians 1, Paul starts with some little pleasantries, and then he really gets into the meat of it in verse 3. And he says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There's the first one. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So the first thing we see Paul saying here is you can be joyful in partnership. Joyful in partnership. They've done some studies on professional athletes and the experiences they have when they win. And it's kind of fascinating because you see these athletes that have spent their lives trying to attain these goals of victory, and they get to see what that experience is really like for them. And the image that comes to my mind, some of you guys might remember this iconic photo of Michael Jordan when he's just like clinging the trophy like it's a little teddy bear, and he's just crying. Now you look at that, you know that is not about just a piece of metal right there. Like everything he's experiencing in the moment, that's the years of sacrifice, all the pain, the toil, the setbacks, the suffering that brought him to that moment of real victory. Now, this is what's interesting about it though. The research has found that people who participate in team sports experience more joy in their victories than people in individual sports. So that shared experience of going through just the journey and the trials and hardships and ultimately getting to the prize is so much better when you experience it with other people. So there really is this fundamental principle of partnership. There's power to it. When you band together with other people, you can accomplish more, you can go further and experience more than you've ever imagined in your life. So Paul here says, I am overflowing with joy and gratitude because of the partnership I have with all of you, these people in Philippi. He's saying we're supporting each other, we're encouraging each other, we're working together to accomplish the mission of God in this world, and it's so much more than we could have ever done alone. So you just have to know, at a base level, Christianity is a team sport. Like you just cannot do this thing alone. It is meant to be done together. Like it just can't happen without that. And you even think about the local church, what we are doing right now, this is designed to actually foster and facilitate what Paul is talking about here right in this letter. Right now at this moment, there are dozens of people in kids' rooms and the other side of the church just investing and pouring into your kids, helping them learn about Jesus and grow in their faith. Some of you even may not know, but there are people literally in different rooms around this building right now that are streaming this service live to hundreds of you guys online in different states, even different countries right now. Even right now in this moment, there are different people walking the different halls and rooms of the building, even walking around the building outside to make sure things are safe and secure, even right now in this moment. During this week, people will gather for things like CR, different groups in different homes all throughout the area, different ministries happening, and then hundreds of people every single week pool their resources so we can move the ministry of God forward here in Colorado and even beyond. You know what that is? That is awesome. That is really cool. There's no single person that could possibly do all the ministry, even just happening in this church today, let alone throughout the year. So even New Hills, guys, we are kind of like one of many little teams in the kingdom of God working together to move God's purposes forward in this world. And here's what's so cool about this. Paul didn't just say partnership. He didn't just say, oh, we're friends. He said, we're partners in the gospel. It's a totally different kind of partnership. This is a whole different level. Some funny little facts about this little church that got started here in Philippi. Paul starts with Lydia, and you can get more details on this in Acts 16 if you want. Again, Lydia is basically like a lady who started with a little Etsy shop and now has like a full-blown empire that she's built. She is balling out, ladies, okay? She's crushing it. She's a business lady. And so Lydia is kind of one of Paul's first people, but then he meets a jailer And this jailer and his family get plugged into this little small group that's forming. And then a little slave girl actually gets saved through this entire process. And that becomes the core group for this brand new church, the first one ever in Europe. And you look at this group of people, these are people that wouldn't even talk to each other in any other situation. They're in totally different categories in the culture. These are not people that are hanging out or socializing. They have basically nothing in common except Jesus. And that one thing that they share together helped foster a community that not only defied the social strata of the day, it broke down cultural barriers and changed that city and the world forever. The church is going to connect you with people you never would have even talked to before. Like, I even just think of my own experience. Just this last week, I was sitting down hanging out with a guy in our church in his 60s. And I knew this message was coming. I'm like, this probably wouldn't happen in any other scenario. He and I don't exactly run in the same circles, okay? And yet, we have a partnership. We're part of something so much bigger than ourselves, and it brought this unity and this brotherhood and connection that was just so special. I think of even right now, so many of you guys in our church, you pour your life into young little elementary school kids or even teenagers, and you do it because you share this faith commitment. It's something you believe in. Just even think about the other connections happening at our church at any point in time. You might be an empty nester, but then you're connecting with some newlyweds. You might be somebody who's just single and you're hanging out with people that have been married for decades. That's just what the church does. It connects people in ways that honestly are confounding to the culture. This is actually a pretty motley group right here in this room right now. I'm looking at all y'all. This ain't exactly a group that would always hang out in social circles, but we're together. That is the beautiful thing about this church. Now you and I, every single one of us, we all need partners. You need people to do this journey of life together with. You need to walk with people. You need support in the struggles. You need people just to hang out with and laugh with and have fun with. This is what you were made for. And I want you guys to know, I don't feel like it's my job. I don't even think I should force this on you. I can't even force this on you. That's not something I think even the church is supposed to do. Like, if you choose that you don't want these kinds of relationships, you can just go on and live your life. Like, we won't force that on you. But if you're a Christian, this is something you should desire. You should feel the importance of it in your life. You should even have a craving for it. And if you do, it's gonna take some work on your part. Like, you're gonna have to take some steps. It's gonna require some effort. It doesn't just happen by magic or osmosis. You have to put some work into this thing. And so the way we kind of talk about it is, we feel like our job as a church is to set the table for you. We'll set the table. But you still gotta put the fork in your mouth. All right, I ain't gonna spoon feed you this stuff. You are 46 years old, okay? We are way past that point to start shoving the spoon in your mouth. And so I want you guys to know, even just the heart of why we do certain things at our church. We've got things like the men's ministry, the women's ministry. We have all these groups that are coming up, CR, Alpha, all this different stuff. Here's what we view these things doing. We want them to create environments that make it easier to find partners in this journey, to find your people, people that you can walk life with. And sometimes it's just around a table, just talking it up. Sometimes it's in the living room of somebody's house. Whatever it is, you need some people to journey with. And maybe you journey for a couple months. Maybe some people you go years with. You know, it always changes with the seasons, and it could be as simple as a text, a phone call, talking between services at church. It doesn't matter what it is, you just need it. And again, I don't wanna make too much of a plug here, they already said it, but man, these groups are starting in the next couple weeks. We got men's studies, we have women's studies. This would be your chance to really jump in and find some partners to do some life with. Now, Paul even says in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. When you start to do this partnering thing together, you start to really do life together with people, this is what the church starts to feel like. Did you see what Paul said? He's like, I got affection for this community. I care about these people. There is a genuine love for these people. And this is what the church is supposed to feel like, guys. It should just feel like this warm community of real family and friendship and fellowship. And I'm telling y'all, we don't do it perfect. All right, I screw this up. y'all screw this up. Somebody in this church has probably offended you at some point if you've been here long enough. All right, your feelings have been hurt. But this is what every single one of us should strive for. Cultivating this kind of community of life and encouragement and doing this faith thing together. And so wherever you are on this journey, just know you need some partners. You need to walk with some people. You should always be pursuing and cultivating this because it will not just change your life. This will change the world. So have some joy in your relationships, everybody. Enjoy them a little bit. Go on that ride with some people. But Paul also says you can be joyful in progress. So look at verse 6. Paul says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So there is a mental trap that is very tempting for us to fall into. There's actually a psychological term for it. It's called when-then thinking. So we all do this, even if you don't notice it. It kind of goes like this. When I retire, then I will finally be able to relax. When the kids are out of the house, then I will finally have my schedule back and be able to do what I want to do. When I reach that certain financial milestone, then I will finally be financially secure. I won't even have to worry about money. When my marriage finally gets to that point I want it to be, then I can finally be happy. So we're doing this all the time. Now, here's what's interesting about this. If you get caught in this trap too much, you can actually end up experiencing what is called conditional happiness. And what this means is you convince yourself that you cannot be happy or have joy until you reach a particular point in your life. And then this is what happens. You actually end up just sitting there waiting for that day to come. They found that this doesn't actually make you more proactive. You start to procrastinate, just hoping one day maybe that then will come into your life and you can finally start enjoying it. Now here's the reality. Whatever your win is in your own mind, it may not come on this side of life. May not happen. But that's okay. You don't need perfect. You just need some progress. Paul said this, God began a good work in you. That's what he just said. He is speaking about the salvation work of God in your life. And so on one level, Paul is saying this, you have been saved. God started this good work of forgiving you of your sins, bringing his presence into your life, setting you free for this future he has for you. But it doesn't stop there. You don't just put your faith in Jesus and then wait for heaven to come. That's really not how it's supposed to be. There's also the next step. You are being saved at the same time. So God starts a transformation process in you that continues throughout your entire life, this spiritual growth progress. We call it sanctification. And it doesn't even stop there. It's not just that you are being saved. There will be a day when you will be saved too. Paul says there's a day coming, the day of Christ Jesus, when he comes back, when God will usher in total perfection. Everything will be resolved. He'll bring it all together. And he's doing all these things right now in your life. Now, some of us in here, that is hard for you. Because you are what we call a perfectionist. Where are my type A freaks at right now? I'm just wondering where all you are. Yeah, you raise your hands all proper and quick and efficiently. I see you. Some of you guys are just a little bit crazy. We love you, but you're crazy. Like you can't handle even just a little mess in the house. You got to put every cup away. Everything needs to be tidied up. You can't even sleep until the house is in the right order. Some of you guys, your calendar looks like a rainbow. It's just an explosion of colors because you have to categorize every single little thing. Here's how you know you are insane though. This is the test. You add things to your to-do list after you already did them, just so you get the satisfaction of crossing it out. You are crazy if you do that, okay? That's you, the perfectionist in the world. Now, let's talk to the moms even just for a minute, you know, being Mother's Day. This perfectionist thing can hit a little close to home for a mom because every mom in here, you have a standard for yourself. And every mom is so painfully aware of how far short they fall of even just their own parenting. And you are painfully aware of how you failed your kids in certain areas, how you haven't done things that we would have done them. And it can be just a real painful process. And it makes parenting really feel like a grind sometimes. But this perfectionistic, everything has to be in order kind of mindset can actually undermine the progress that God wants to work out in your life. Look what Paul says. God is the one who started this process in you, this progress journey, and he is the one who is going to complete it. So if you've ever played like a sport in your life before, you kind of know what a good coach feels like. You know, they know your strengths, they know your weaknesses, they know exactly how to focus in on stuff so you can get a little better and make progress. If you have a coach and a player who both want to make progress together, that is a beautiful relationship. That is a ride you can enjoy. But really what Paul is saying here is God is so much better than a coach. He is fully engaged in this progress journey with you. He's going to give you the opportunities you need. He's going to give you the open doors you need, the strength, the courage, all of it. Anything that's necessary for you to make progress in this life. So when you're tempted to do the win, then everything will be perfect and I'll be okay. God is saying, whoa, 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 hold up, hold up. We're not doing perfect right now. Just progress. Let's focus on the next step together. And let's celebrate every little step you can make. And let's enjoy this ride together. This ride of progress. Some of you guys know Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple. He had a mantra that he used with his staff all the time. And he would say, hey guys, the journey is the reward. It's about the journey, making progress together. So right now, even though things are not perfect in your life right now, some of y'all got a hot mess you're dealing with, you can enjoy this ride. You can experience deep joy no matter what you're going through. And so just take those little steps of progress and celebrate them. Have some gratitude for them because God is working out a plan in your life that he will bring to perfection one day. You just got to enjoy this ride. Now, we just got one other thing here in this section. Paul says you can also be joyful in love. Look at verse 9. He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that, look at this, you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I don't know what you pray for before you eat. Maybe it's to bless the pizza and the cake, which I got problems with that. I don't know if God can bless that food. I really have problems with that. But we all pray for different stuff. This hits me a little different. I mean, this is another level than just like praying before the meal that I see from Paul. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, I'm praying that you would overflow, that you would spill over the top. You would abound with this thing called love. Now, I'll be honest with you guys. When I see the word love in the Bible, I struggle. The reason I struggle is because I feel like that word has lost total meaning in our culture. And I always wonder, what are people thinking when they're reading this word in the Bible, love? What are they filling in the gaps with? Because if you think of our culture, love is kind of like an emotion. It's kind of like a feeling. You fall in love and you fall out of love. And then we say things like love is love. And then it's kind of like, is love just like acceptance? Is it tolerance? Is it just like having good feelings towards somebody? But Paul uses the true biblical definition of love here when he uses the word. And what he means is not just having good feelings or liking somebody. The definition, according to the Bible, of love really is seeking the good of another person, even at a personal cost to yourself. So when you grow in love, you are growing in your ability to place other people's needs above your own. And if you are really growing in love and relationship with God, you will by definition grow in this ability to love other people as well. Now, this is where this gets interesting. Paul says, if you commit to this process of growing in this thing called love, it's going to come with an unexpected benefit in your life. Paul says, if you do this, you will be able to discern what is best. You're going to have this supernatural ability for discernment and decision-making in your life. Now, let's talk to the moms again here for a minute. Moms, you have a high calling. You are a primary, if not the primary channel of God's love to your kids. Think about that. That is a high calling. That is a heavy responsibility. And every mom in here, you know the struggle that you have. you're asking this in a million different ways all the time. What is best for my kids? Right? How do I discipline them? What should I feed them? How do we educate them? How do I handle the insane personality that they inherited from me? The reason your kid drives you nuts is because they're you. That's why they drive you crazy. Okay? God is teaching you some lessons. But it's a struggle, right? You're always wondering, is that the right way for them? What should I do? And this isn't even just with parenting. This is with everything. Which way do I go? What should I do in this situation? How does this work? Now, why is Paul here talking about this idea of decision-making and love? How are these things even correlated? Like, why would he connect those two things? Well, think about this for a moment. Any decision you face, you have a million different filters going through your mind in that moment. You're asking, what's the financial impact of this decision? How is this going to affect the other things going on in my life? How am I going to be perceived by other people based on the decision I make in this? What will this do to my security? How will this affect, like, a million things. You have a million different variables you're going through your mind. But here's what Paul says. If you grow in this love thing in your life, and you learn how to do this with other people and in your relationship with God, you will develop a supernatural filter in your own heart and mind. So when you face decisions, you are not going to be spinning with a million different things. You are going to be able to ask with absolute clarity, what is the most loving thing to do in this decision? What is the most loving response? How should I actually behave towards this person? What would be the greatest way to glorify and even serve God in this moment? And as that becomes more and more the filter for your life, you are going to make better decisions. And then guess what? Your life is going to get better. And you are going to enjoy it so much more. But it's not even just that you're going to make better decisions and your life will get better. You will get better. Paul says you are going to be filled with this fruit of righteousness in your life. You are going to be transformed. And we hear this word righteousness. Sometimes I go like the negative direction. Like, is it like self-righteousness or whatever? No, Paul is talking about this new life God has for you. Becoming a totally different person, full of hope and joy and peace and living out what God has for you. That is what is going to happen to you as you are joyfully living out this love that God calls you to. So I'm telling you guys, have some joy in this thing. You can enjoy this ride. God is going to direct you so much more clearly. And as we started this series, we didn't want this just to be like another series we go through the motions with. One of the single greatest things you can do to really make some progress in your life is develop a daily habit of getting in God's word. And we really wanted to encourage this with this series. And so we developed this little booklet that was on your seat. It's just, it goes right with the series. Enjoy the ride, this Philippians booklet. And it takes you through the entire book of Philippians in 11 short sessions. Just little scripture bits. There's quotes in here. There's questions for reflection. There's different pages you can take notes on. This is our gift to you. We want you to take this. And you can do one a day and you'll be done in about a week and a half. Maybe you want to go at the pace of the series and just kind of go along with us. Maybe you go through this a few different times. But I know for a lot of us in this room, you're like, well, I'm not really a reader, Brian, or the Bible's confusing. I don't know where to start. Some of you in here, this will be your first time getting through an entire book of the Bible. And that's going to be a huge step for you. And I hope it helps you cultivate a daily habit of getting in God's word. So please take this and we're going to go on this ride together through Philippians. But even as we get ready to close today, let's just own it right now, everybody. Life is a grind. It's a grind. There's hard days, hard seasons, there's hard years. And yet what Paul says to us and what God is saying to us is, you can enjoy this ride. If you truly will just step into the relationships that God wants you, cultivate them, work at them, find some people you can partner with on this journey. And if you will just not do the win then, it needs to be perfect thing, and just embrace the progress of the journey and where God's taking you in every step of the way. And if you will just enjoy living out this love that God has shown us in Jesus and living out towards other people, you are going to experience a level of joy and fulfillment that maybe you didn't even know was possible. And so New Hills, let's go on this ride together. Let's see what God has for us and let's enjoy it. It's gonna be a great ride, everybody. Let's pray together right now. Lord, I just want to thank you right now that your heart for us is that we would experience joy. That is what you want for us, God. Even Jesus, it says, for the joy set before you, Jesus, you went to that cross. You endured it on our behalf. And Lord, I just pray right now that we would open our hearts and minds to what you truly have for us through this series, that you would transform our expectations and our desires for our own life so we could experience the life you are calling us to. Lord, I pray we would be a church that lives out this love, that we are even willing to inconvenience ourselves for the good of other people, what you have shown us, Lord. And I just pray that the joy of this church would overflow into our surrounding communities, into this world, and it truly would change lives and eternities forever. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into this week's message. If you would like to learn more about New Hills, you can go to newhills.church. You can also follow us online on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for more updates and events. We look forward to seeing you next week.